May every mom joining us here today feel honored, celebrated, and seen. For moms who are expecting and living in the middle of the joys, the fears, and the curiosity, God is faithful. For mothers with little ones who are living between the beauty of being a mom and the feeling of not doing enough, God is faithful. For moms with teenagers who exist in the push and pull of being too near and not being near enough, God is faithful. For moms in the empty nest who are living in the tension of will they be okay and the honesty of did I do okay, God is faithful. For grandmothers who are living every day with devotion, worry, wisdom, and a lot of praying, God is faithful. So let's make this a day of celebrating mothers and also a day of declaring the faithfulness of God over them. God is faithful to fulfill His promises. He's faithful to make a way where there seems to be no way. He's faithful to be the light when our faith grows dim and to be the song when we're too exhausted to sing. God is faithful to love us, carry us, form us, and restore us. And the very same God who has begun this good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. All because He is faithful. Happy Mother's Day.
So, what advice would you ask from someone older? Today's message, Finding My Significance, A Daughter of the King. And we'll start, what advice would girls ask from someone older? And this comes from, I think, Glamour magazine, and it's a video on YouTube. When women 5 to 75 answer this question. And here are some of the responses if you were to ask advice from someone older. How do you become who you are today? What should I not stress about at 14 years old? What is the best way to make a decision? Looking back on your life, what did you find most valuable? What do you do when you realize your dreams are not actually going to happen? How do you manage having kids, being married, and having a career? What is the secret to living a happy life? Is having children really worth it? And what are the secrets to a long and happy marriage? And there are many more questions on this video that they raise, and I just thought that was interesting because really, women today, girls today, are asking a lot of big questions, and the question is, who is going to answer those questions? In the book of Timothy, in the book of Titus, this is what Paul wrote to Titus. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. And if you note in this passage, the wisdom that these older women share, it goes beyond the words they speak to the choices they make and the lives that they live. And it really made me think of this series, right? They are like brand ambassadors to the younger generation to say, this is the brand of Jesus. This is what it looks like for a woman to bear the brand of Jesus in the world today. And I think that's really powerful. Peter says something similar in 1 Peter. He talks about defining this woman. He says, do not let your adorning be the external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. And it's not that it's wrong to look nice on the outside, but our focus really needs to be, is there this inner beauty on the inside of me that is being drawn out of me? And that's what these older women need to help the younger women see. That's the brand of Jesus today. So biblically speaking, the mature women are to be the brand ambassadors, giving spiritual instruction to the younger generation. And that really needs to happen today. needs to happen with the men as well to the younger generation. There is something there. This morning, we're going to talk, of course, it's Mother's Day, so I have a Mother's Day message here. But we're going to tie this back into our series, Brand Ambassadors, in a very powerful way. And at the same time, it's full of universal truths that will speak to both men and women. All of us can take these things and apply them back to our life. And so, yeah. And I, as we approach Mother's Day, I'm aware how this can be as I was praying. It's such an emotional day for so many women. There's sometimes so much pain wrapped up in this day for women. It's hard for them to actually attend church. But I do think that there is a word of comfort and encouragement to be found in today's message that God can speak into your life. Let me give you a question here to kind of get us rolling a little bit. This could be the significant question or the significance quiz. It's one really question that you can draw it across, different relationships. But the most significant thing that you can do as a mother, I wonder what that would be, how you would answer that. And as a husband or as a friend, what's the most significant thing you can do as a friend? I was thinking this week as a pastor, what's the most significant thing I can do as a pastor? You could say this, what's the most significant thing I can do as a child, as a child in my home living with my parents or grandparents, what's the most significant thing that I can do? And I don't know how you would answer that question, but here's the key. See, the answer is the same for everybody. And it goes back to something we saw 2 weeks ago, and this is just from 2 weeks ago, and this is still ringing in my head. I still find this just a really powerful thought for me personally. Our most significant thing is to walk with God and to live from Christ and not just for Christ. And honestly, in any of your relationships, if you do this, yeah, your life will go well. I'm not saying anything will always be smooth, but I mean, yeah, life will be the best and you'll live the most spiritually prosperous life if you learn to live from Christ and not just for Christ. And today's passage is going to show us the dynamics of that again. How we approach this passage will show us whether we're living for Christ or from Christ. Today's brand, then, is finding your value, your worth, or your significance in Christ. And it is closely related to that identity message from 2 weeks ago, but this is what, really, when you think, what are the questions that so many young women are asking today, and even some older women today, what are they asking? It's like, where do I find my value, worth, or significance? Here's today's questions. What am I worth, and where do I get my value? What am I worth? And when you look at some of the choices that people make in their life, and some young women make in their life, it's like they don't have a lot of, they don't see a lot of worth in themselves, or they wouldn't make those kinds of choices, would they? So what am I worth and where do I get my value? And today we're going to kind of address those questions as we go through this chapter in Proverbs 31. And the truth is, this is a huge part of the Jesus brand when you think about it. This was a huge part of Jesus' brand. He lived in a culture, in a society that was very patriarchal. It was in the Old Testament too, and women were like kind of looked down on and marginalized and degraded, and they were less than the men of the world, unfortunately. And Jesus came along and did a great job of elevating their worth. He did. He was known for elevating a person's sense of worth. If you remember, he encountered Mary Magdalene, who had seven demons, and he had time for her. Like, the God of the universe is here in flesh and blood, has time for this throwaway woman with seven demons and casts them out of her. In fact, he goes to her after he resurrects first. And she doesn't even recognize him until he what? Until he speaks her name. And the way he says her name resonates with her, and she melts in his presence like Jesus. Showing their relationship. There is the woman at the well who had the five failed relationships, and Jesus goes out of the societal norms to spend time with her and to lift her up and to speak into her troubled life. There is the woman, the prostitute, the woman of the city that came in and washed Jesus' feet with the tears of her eyes and the hairs on her head and just worshiped him in that moment and actually was a lesson to the proud Pharisee Simon in that time. And Jesus just accepted her worship. And then there's even Matthew, the reviled tax collector, and Jesus said, come follow me. You can come follow me. And Jesus was continually elevating the people's worth, those people that were marginalized and looked down on in society as being less than everyone else. Here's today's big idea. It's real simple. The best mothers are the daughters of the King. So you can remember that. You can put that on your fridge. Encourage yourself this week. The best mothers are the daughters of the King. Simply meaning if you're saved, if you're in Christ, if you're a new creation in Christ, you're a daughter of the King. Don't forget that. And actually, the daughters of the King make the best mothers. And we all want to be a good mom, right? We all want to be a good dad or a good husband or a good friend, a good sister or brother, right? Don't we? Well, anyway, the best mothers and sisters and brothers and fathers, they're all daughters and sons of the King. So just remember your royalty, and that will go very well to help you this morning. So, and it works like this, because if I'm living from Christ and not for Christ, I'm tapping into the reserves of the royal King of all kings. And he's my dad, and he can empower me. I have a royal bloodline. So here's how we'll approach this passage this morning. We've been in Proverbs 31 several times over the years. And as I was trying to unpack this morning's idea, I was looking in different directions, looking at different passages and ways to approach this. And God kept bringing me back to Proverbs 31. And the reality is, kind of have a fresh look at this morning, a fresh way to look at it. How a mom can guard her value and realize her worth. So there's five lessons here. And then a bonus thought at the end for all of us husbands to think about when it comes to our wives and our daughters as well. But five simple lessons, how mom can guard her value and realize her worth. Here's the first lesson. It's don't confuse your purpose with your potential. And great job by Ricky. Read that lengthy 21 verses there, chapter 31, 10 through 31. And we'll be walking through this, kind of pulling out different verses. But taking this thought, when you look at that passage in a whole, there are so many things that this Proverb 31 woman does, right? She just does, like, she is super mom. It's like, wow. And, of course, that's misreading the text. And so hopefully we will see that today. You don't want to confuse your purpose with your potential. An excellent wife, who can find? And she won't confuse her purpose and her potential. Now, what do we mean? Well, the point is that this virtuous woman, it's not that she does all these things in this chapter, it's that she can do any of these things in this chapter. Like, she can do any of these things, but she doesn't do them all. She could potentially plant her own garden, or homeschool her children, or sew all her family's clothes, or be a real estate agent, or own her own business, or volunteer at the local soup kitchen. She can do all those things. Potentially. Not at the same time, though, right? You understand that we do make choices in life. So then what is her purpose? Well, if you look back to this passage, we can kind of see her purpose in this passage. Her purpose, number one, is to walk with God and to live from Christ. I just love that phrase. It's really resonating with me, and it's like that summarizes really our purpose in life is to walk with God and to live from Christ, and if we do that, our life will, things will roll out in our life much smoother. If you look at this passage, it's interesting because here's that word, an excellent wife, who can find? She's far more precious than jewels. And this word excellent is an interesting word when you look at it. In the King James, it says a virtuous woman. In the Berean Standard Bible, it says a wife of noble character. In the literal standard version, most literal interpretation, it's a woman of worth who finds. So this is a woman that has a lot of worth because she understands, right? She's walking with God and living from Christ, and she understands she's a daughter of the King. So if you look at this like a Strong's definition, it's a really lengthy definition, but it does carry the idea of like a strong strength, power, valor. Those are all kind of wrapped up in the definition. The Brown's Driver Briggs lexicon says ability, efficiency, often involving moral worth. And that's all kind of wrapped up in this word. It's an interesting word. And I think when you really boil it down, it's looking at this. It speaks to the inner strength of character in this woman's life. This inner strength of character that she gets, not because she lives for Christ, but because she lives from Christ. And see, if you read this passage and look at it like, I got to do everything in this passage to be a Proverbs 31 woman, you're living for Christ, you're going to burn yourself out. But if you live from Christ, God will walk with you through life and help you make the right decisions you need to make in life. Yeah. Yeah. So that's her purpose on one hand. The other part of her purpose is seen here. Yeah, look at these verses here, verses 11, 12. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. What's the other side of her purpose here? Well, the other side of her purpose is to be her husband's helper. She's to be her husband's helper. That's part of why she is here as well. And again, why does he trust her? Because she hasn't confused her purpose and her potential, because she knows who she is in Christ. That's so powerful. And note again, her purpose is not to do something, it's to be someone. It's to be her husband's helper. This goes back to the original creation with Adam and Eve, right? And God made Adam and God made Eve, and he made Adam first. But he didn't make Adam first because Adam was more important than Eve. That's not why he made Adam first. What's really beautiful about the creation is he made Adam, and then he said, Adam, you are incomplete. There's parts of you missing. There's something about you that's, and you need a helper. And he made Eve to complete Adam then, and we call this really in Scripture, it's called a complementarian view, that men and women complement each other, have different strengths and different roles to play in life. So powerful. And so Eve was extremely important. In fact, it tells us in Genesis 3:20, the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. So Eve was very important because none of us would be here today if God hadn't made Eve, right? So God said, Adam, you're important, and Eve, you're important, and together you help each other. You complement and complete each other. When you think about this complementarian view, how we're wired differently, there are some spiritual implications, but really we see this in just simple, like psychology can detect things between men and women. Like, okay, men, we're like thinkers, we like to solve problems, you know, and you know how women are. Women like to talk about problems, and they like to emote over those problems. It's like, don't solve that too quick. I want to feel that thing out, you know. It's like, how many arguments haven't you run into in your own marriages because of that? You know, dad's like more adventurous, like, let's take the kids bungee jumping, you know, and mom's like, no, let's go to the park and swing on the swings. And dad's like, no, let's go bungee jumping. And dad's more adventurous. Mom can be more of a nurturer or protector. Not always, but often that's the case. And then, of course, we know that men and women, well, women use a lot more words than men. That's just been proven. Men, you know, I think women use like 5,000 words a day and men 1,000 words, something like that. I've lost track of the count. But women like to talk and men like to sit and stare, don't we? Right? So, yeah. It reminds me of the guy, he was sitting in the living room and his wife said, would you hand me my lipstick off the table stand over there? And he reached over and handed her the glue stick by accident, and she still isn't talking to him, so. All right, so don't confuse your purpose and your potential. And there's that complementary view. Men and women complement each other in very unique ways. Remember, you are a daughter or a son of royalty, and so we don't live just for the king. We live from the king. Okay, let's look at our second purpose. Again, the best mothers are the daughters of the king. Second is, you are given few limits, so learn to limit yourself. You just are. And this is fascinating when you read this passage, because there is so much in here that moms can do. And there's this lie. I bring this up, I think, every Mother's Day. But we all, moms need to hear this. You can't have it all and be it all and do it all. You can't. Life is about making choices in life. There's no super mom. And we go through various seasons of life when we say, okay, in this season I'll do this. In this season I can't do this. And And I do sympathize. I was thinking this week about those women that end up as single moms. Maybe their husband leaves them or a husband passes away, and you're a single mom and you've got three kids, and sometimes you feel like you have to be both mom and dad, and that's really hard. And you can't really be both mom and dad. You can be mom, and sometimes that's where, like, us in the church step in, and we become, in some senses, maybe we, some of the men of the church, become a fatherly presence in some child's life who doesn't have a dad, because, you know, those moms need our help. What's fascinating about this passage, though, is it pushes back. When you think about the negative narrative that's out there about the Bible and about Christianity, and how, oh, you know, it just diminishes women, it marginalizes women, you know, it's like, women can't do anything, they're inferior to men. And you read a passage like this and you see that's not the case at all. Like, women can do so many things. Now, it's true, and I said this earlier, that in the Bible, in biblical culture, it was very patriarchal, and that was very much the reality. It was Jesus who pushed back on it. It was Jesus who elevated the worth of women. It's the Apostle Paul himself in his ministry who elevated the worth of women above what was popular in that day, which that's usually missed on people. And so it's true, Paul did say that wives should submit to their husbands. And so people look at that and then they think, oh, you know, the Bible's so heavy on women and just does not give them the freedom they deserve. And that's actually not true. And if you look at the culture of that day, you'll find that Paul elevated women far above their normal worth in society. So it goes back to these two views again. I mentioned the one complementarian versus the egalitarian. The complementarian view is that men and women complement each other, and we have different roles, and the God has given us different responsibilities. And then egalitarian says, oh, we're all just equal, and we can all do the same thing, and we're all the same. And it's true, in Christ we are all equal, we're all just as valuable, we're all just as important, but God has given men and women different roles and different responsibilities, and so that is certainly an issue. And the reason for this really is just God has always had an authority structure throughout Scripture. He just wants men to be the spiritual leaders. It's not that women are less than men, it's just that he wants men to, primarily when it comes to your wives, he wants you to be the ones that serve them and sacrifice for them like Christ sacrificed for the church, and you are the ones who are responsible and accountable for your families, and that's just the way God has done it. And when you think about the Godhead even, it's fascinating in the Godhead that you have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and the Son was sent to earth by the Father and submitted to him, and the Son sent the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit submitted to the Son. So even in the Godhead, they submitted to one another. It shouldn't be a negative word in any way. And when we understand that, so yeah, that's what's going on in this sense. And so, if there are any limits on women, there's really two primary limits. I don't even call them limits, but it's serving as pastors and elders. It seems to be reserved for the men to be the spiritual leaders of the church, which doesn't mean that a woman can't stand up here and ever speak to the church, because we have had missionaries come in and do that. 2 years ago, Mother's Day, we had three of the women stand up here and help share the message. So that's certainly allowable, but he just wants men to take that role of leadership and wants you to submit to your husband, and I explained that. That's really not about him lording it over you, but about serving you and being responsible for the family. But look at this verse here, verse 18. Her lamp does not go out at night. What does that mean? Does that mean that she never sleeps? Like, she's super mom. She never sleeps. It's like, well, not exactly. We know that. But we do know, and moms can relate, that you're like on call 24/7. Like you are. You might be sleeping, but if your child is crying out for you in the middle of the night, dad might not hear. Dad probably won't hear, but you will. And yeah. And so moms are on call 24/7. I'm reminded of the kid. And mom had just put her son to bed, 6-year-old Johnny, to bed, and she climbs into her bed to read a little book and rest, and she hears this call down the hall, Mommy, can I have a drink of water? And she's like, Johnny, you just had lots of drinks of water, no more water, or you're going to wet your bed, so, you know, go to sleep. So like 2 minutes later, Johnny calls out again, Mommy, can I have a drink of water? And she's like, Johnny, I told you, you had enough water, stop stalling and go to sleep. So a third time he calls out, Mommy, can I have a drink of water? And Mommy's getting pretty frustrated now and says, Johnny, if you ask me for a drink of water one more time, I'm going to come in there and whoop your behind. Now go to sleep. 2 minutes later, Mommy, when you come in to whoop my behind, can you bring me a glass of water? So moms are on call 24/7. You can probably relate to that. So, you know, yeah. So, today's big idea. The best mothers are the daughters of the King. Just know your royalty. Know where you get your worth and remember that. And learn to limit yourself. Ask the King of all kings, what should I be doing in this season of life? Third lesson, don't allow your blessings to become burdens. Don't allow your blessings to become burdens. And here's the thing. If you read through Proverbs 31, and I think some women do this, they read through it, and they walk away with this heavy, like, whew, man, I can't do all that. I'll never be a Proverbs 31 woman. It's like, I can't check all those boxes off. And if you read it that way, you have totally misread the passage and totally misunderstood. But here's the reality. Without some self-imposed limits, your blessings will become burdens. If you don't know how, learn how to say no sometimes and to plan out your life, and then all those blessings can become burdens. Now, let me just say this. I realize, though, I don't be too simplistic here. Sometimes in life, we're faced with things we didn't expect. We're faced with challenges we didn't ever plan on. Sometimes we have jobs that seem less than idealistic, and we just need to have that job, and life can be overly challenging. I get all that. So I'm not you know, like, diminishing that reality at all. I understand sometimes life can be very burdensome. And I'm just speaking to what Scripture says, like in Matthew again. Here's Jesus again to us all. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sounds like a pretty good promise to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this is really a salvation verse telling the world, come to me, become a new creation in Christ, and I'll give you rest in this world. But it's an invitation to all of us every single day, right, to live from Christ, not just for Christ, to live from him, to find ourselves in him. And as we find ourselves in him, he will help us face the burdens of life. It seems to be saying something like this, that in Christ, we can find blessings in our burdens. In Christ, we can find blessings in our burdens if we are living from Christ and not just for him. And that's the reality. I think that's pretty powerful, that some sense that in our burdens, if they are, in a sense, burdensome, God can help us find blessings in our burdens. That makes sense? I think he can do that, but that's really, I know, difficult. Look at these two verses here, 25 and 26. Three things that notices about this woman that she does. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. I just think there's three things in there, like she laughs at tomorrow. Can you laugh at tomorrow? With all the burdens of today, can you laugh at tomorrow? Yeah, I think God can help us do that. I think that's really a difficult one today for all of us as believers, like in the world today, to think, how do I laugh at tomorrow? Like the world's spinning out of control. Like my bank account may be, you know, swallowed up in 3 weeks when all the banks go under and evil's taking over the world. Everything going on around us, it's like, and yet, yeah. Like, here's a woman that can laugh at tomorrow, and I think we all need to say, can I laugh at the future, and what circumstance is taking the joy out of my life and stealing my laughter? This made me think of Sarah. Remember Sarah and Abraham? And so God comes down to Sarah and talked about this a couple weeks ago. Said, Sarah, you're going to be a mother, and Abraham's going to be the father of a great nation. And she's like 74 years old, and she's like, okay, that's good. Well, then, 25 years later, you know, finally God shows up again and says, okay, Sarah, this is the year. And how many remember her response when God showed up? She's 99 now. And yeah, Sarah, you're going to have a baby. You're 99. Listen to the response. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, no. You did laugh. And I don't think God's being hard on her because he was mad that she laughed. I think probably any woman in that situation would probably laugh. Like, yeah, sure, yeah. I think the reason he draws this out of her is he's saying, hey, you got to take me serious. You're going to have a baby. I can do anything I want. Nothing's too hard for me. You may be 99, but you're having a baby. And I think she took him serious then. She's like, I didn't laugh. And not like you thought I laughed. And yeah, so I think it's, but what struck me about this was her, did you notice her response? She's 99 years old. They're in retirement. They're like, yeah. And she said, shall I have pleasure? So somehow she's looking at Isaac as still somehow going to be a blessing, even though he'll be a burden and it'll be really hard on her. I thought that was really fascinating. And so, yeah, she just laughs at the time to come. And in fact, they have this son named, they name him Isaac, and then Isaac means laughter. So they laughed at the whole situation. How great is that? She speaks with kindness. Here's the truth. If you're bearing a burden, it will be hard to speak the words of kindness. The words of kindness come from the person who is counting their blessings, not bearing their burdens. And so it is tough. I get it. When we are stressed out is when we are most likely to lash out. And again, that's not to sound judgmental. It's just to be honest. In many ways, I feel like in some of these things, I'm speaking to myself. I'm looking at my own life thinking, how do I handle the things in life that I consider burdens? And do I find the blessings in them? And I know. So a lot of this was here, me looking in the mirror, saying, looking at my own life and trying to process the things that I go through, and we're all going through things in the same way. And then finally, she shares her wisdom. She shares her wisdom in that. And this is a truth that I think all moms can relate to. Like, you never stop being a mother. You never stop being your child's mother. And you never stop giving them advice, right? Even when they don't want it, you're going to give them their advice and tell them what they should be doing and how they should handle this situation and that situation. And yeah, you never stop being their mom. In fact, I thought of this, really. You will at times be burdened for your blessings. There's times in life when you're going to be burdened for your blessings. You just are. And this made me think about my own life. I was doing a little way back machine to my, you know, when I just got out of high school and the trajectory of my life. And so when I was in school, when I was in grade school and junior high, even in high school, I was kind of a daydreamer. I didn't get the best grades. I could have done a lot better. I was a daydreamer. I would sit in grade school, look out the window at the basketball court, and I was out there playing basketball, and the teacher's teaching. I was just a daydreamer. And so, you know, I got out of, I graduated, and I was a daydreamer. So I was a late bloomer. That's just what I was. I was a late bloomer. There's just different kinds of people. And I remember that I was back in Ohio, and I was living on my own. And I moved out living on my own. My mom and dad left, and they came to Michigan to pastor up in Newaygo. And yeah, I was kind of struggling on my own. And my mom was burdened for me. I know she was. She was worried about me. There was 2 weeks where I just lived out of my car for 2 weeks, you know. It's like, what? It's like, we don't do that in our family, you know, live out of your car. But anyway, I got my act together. But I remember when I moved up to Michigan, and I moved back in with mom and dad up in Michigan and got into youth ministry and ended up in the, you know, in the pastorate and all. And so there's hope for all of you moms with kids that kind of wander around. There's hope, you know, just keep praying for them. But I thought about the beauty of that is how my mom was burdened for me, but when I moved back home, she never made me feel like a burden. I look at myself and think, I was probably a huge burden. What were you doing? Like, you know, it's like, what an idiot. Why did it take you so long to get your act together? But yeah. And I think there's an art there that you can have a burden for your kids and not make them feel like a burden. And so don't let your burdens, don't let your blessings become burdens. That is really, really powerful. You know, Barbara Kingsolver, she may have said it best. She said, it kills you to see your kids grow up, but I guess it would kill you quicker if they didn't. So, yeah, I guess it would kill you quicker if they didn't. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruits of the womb of a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. And so children are indeed a blessing. We lose sight of that sometimes. And the best mothers are the daughters of the King. Always know you're a daughter of the King. Proverbs 31, just a few more verses here to pull out. Verse 17, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Strength and dignity are her clothing. Verse 29, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. In verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Lesson number 4 is don't lose your intrinsic worth in search of an imitation worth. Don't lose your intrinsic worth in Christ in search of an imitation worth. And it's so easy to do that in the world today. The world will tell you what defines you and what makes you valuable, what makes you important. Don't let the world do that to you. And if you look at this and think, well, I'm worth more and I'm more valuable the more that I accomplish, that's not true. It's just not. And again, we will accomplish the most and realize most of our worth as we live from Christ and not just for Christ. And so the woman here we are presented with in this passage is a woman who is defined by an inner beauty, not by the outward standards of this world. Not that it's wrong to wear nice clothes and look trendy and be in style, but you just want an inner beauty that outshines what you wear on the outside. You just simply do. And the truth is the world we live in is always attacking us, and we're always under spiritual siege. We need to be on guard. I can give you three cousins here. Three first cousins that all will eat away at our intrinsic worth. And just remember this from 2 weeks ago, in Christ you are enough. If you know you're enough in Christ, then you're not going to be worried about the imitation worth that is found in this world. But three first cousins here, like comparison will eat away at your intrinsic worth. Are you ever driven by comparison? You know, you take on more than you should because you're comparing yourself to somebody else, or you go deeper in debt because you're comparing yourself to somebody else and you feel inferior to them. Maybe you work too many hours. Maybe you're taking on too many burdens because you want that nicer car or that fancier vacation. And the reality is those material blessings never affirm our true worth in Christ. They never make worth. They never make us more worthy or more valuable. In fact, it's just the opposite. They steal our intrinsic worth. So be on guard for comparison. And then at the same time, entitlement will eat away at our intrinsic worth when we just feel entitled. When we feel entitled to something we don't have, when our life is harder than it should be, when, you know, this, that, or the next thing, and we look at all the things. We look at other people and think, well, you know, it's like, yeah. And so entitlement will come along and zap the spiritual strength out of us if we focus on that which really has no true worth. And then finally, jealousy will eat away at our intrinsic worth. I mean, and comparison and entitlement lead to jealousy. And what's disheartening is when we as believers today, and this happens, we have believers today who will look at their next door neighbor and all their neighbor has and all that's going on in their neighbor's life, and they're kind of like jealous of their neighbor, and their neighbor doesn't even know Jesus. And it's like, I got Christ, they don't have Christ, and I'm envious of them because somehow their life is easier than I've totally missed the reality of what it means to have Christ. We need to watch that jealousy because it can indeed be very destruction. Never forget, you are a child of royalty. You're a child of the King. That's where your worth comes from. You know, I have this thing. I don't know. It's a paranoia of mine. I don't know. And it's been a long time since I had a flat tire. But every time I go out and I'm going to leave, I look at the car and I check the tires. Is there enough air in the tires? I don't want to get out there and get a flat tire. And I guess a couple times maybe you got the gauge that tells you your tire's flat, but it's like my car didn't tell me and I had kind of a flat tire. And so I've noticed that. Today I go out to leave for church and I'm looking, boy, that tire looks flat. And I look at the other side of the car and it's like, yeah, I think that tire's going flat and I'm a little nervous. So I get the tire gauge out and I test it and sure enough, it's 30 pounds. It's right. It's perfect. And a little what we need today in comparison to this world, because we can look at things in the world today and think, I don't measure up, I don't value, I don't have enough value, I'm not enough. And we need to continually go back to God's word. This is like the tire gauge, right? And we look in this and we find our worth. Oh, I am enough. I am all I need to be in Christ right here. It tells me that. And so just as that tire gauge gives me a little peace to get in the car and drive it, this can drive us through life and continually reaffirm that I am enough in Christ, that I am all I need to be in Christ, and the world will continually eat away at my intrinsic worth. The best mothers are the daughters of the king. So remind yourself that you are royalty indeed. And one last lesson this morning. Proverbs 31:10 again. An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. That word jewels, in some translations it's jewels. Some it says rubies. Some it says pearls. But here's our last lesson. Again, we can probably relate to this. Don't let the storms of life define you, but let them refine you. We're all going to go through storms in life. Don't let those storms in life define you. Let them refine you. Don't let that debt define you. Don't let that divorce define you. Don't let that crisis define you. Don't let that pink slip define you. Don't let that argument define you. Don't let that loss define you. Don't let that hurt define you. But let those things in the Father's hand refine you. Great one this week. I saw this on Facebook, and every now and then Facebook has a gem like this that somebody posts, and it's like, yeah, this was so good. It's a reality check for us. Heal so you can hear what's being said without the filter of your wound. Just kind of let that one kind of soak into your mind for a minute. Heal so you can hear what's being said without the filter of your wound. And we have so much hurt in life and so many things in life that affect how we hear life and how we hear others and how we see life all around us. It goes back to that old adage that hurt people, right? When someone's hurting you, you just have to stop and say they're hurting. Because when you're hurting, then what do? You lash out and hurt other people. It just comes out of us naturally. So if you want to speak more words of kindness, right, then give your hurt to Jesus. Let him heal you. And then you can speak more words of kindness in your life. This kind of goes back to that issue we talked about earlier, those burdens we talked about, how our burdens at times can be these very hurts in our life. Like we have these hurts and they are burdens and they steal our blessings out of life. And so we need to get past the hurt, get past the pain, and let the Lord heal us. So don't let these issues in your life define you, let them refine you. I'm sure most of us maybe know the story, right, of how they refine gold and silver, right? I've talked about it before. And they take the gold and silver and they put it in the vat and they turn up the heat and they burn it and they burn all those impurities off of the gold and the silver, right? And then when do they know that it's done, that the gold and silver is ready? It's when they look into that gold and silver and can see their own personal reflection, which is exactly what Christ is doing with all of us all the time. We go through, and there's a scripture that says this, that God sends us through the fire of affliction, and he does this until he sees his reflection in us. He's drawing himself out of us, and when he's done, he immediately turns off the fire and the heat, and yeah. And I thought about that reality, even in the sense that, like, we know we live in a world, right, where the sun is, like, perfectly placed in relationship to the earth. Like, one iota farther away or one iota closer, we would burn up or we'd freeze up. But God knows how to put that sun in just the right spot. And God knows when you're on that fiery furnace, he knows exactly when to kill the heat. And you've been through the fiery trial. Been through the fiery trial, and he has done his work in you as he has promised to do. And so don't let those issues define you, but let them refine you. But here's what's beautiful about this, right? Here's that verse again. An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. Did you know that some jewels are put through the fire, put through the heat as well? Did you know that? And especially like rubies are one. And so this passage calls this jewel in some translations a ruby. And you know, rubies are put, these gemstones are put through the heat. You know what the heat does to those jewels? It makes them different colors. It brings out the inner beauty of that jewel. And so it doesn't take away their worth. It just brings out different colors in the jewel. So here's this woman who is a precious jewel. And when you go through the fires and the storms and the trials of life, let them bring out your inner beauty. Let them bring out your inner beauty. Let them refine you. Don't let them define you. And again, the best mothers are the daughters of the king. So what did we learn today, before I give you one last thought here, is don't confuse your purpose and your potential. It'll wear you out. And you're given few limits, so learn to limit yourself. And don't allow your blessings to become burdens. Don't let your blessings become burdens. Don't lose your intrinsic worth in search of an imitation worth. And don't let the storms of life define you, but let them refine you. Let me just give you a simple word to the men here this morning, to the husbands to close with. And look at verse 10 again. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. And this chapter is really written a mother to her son saying, who can find an excellent wife? And so he's looking for an excellent wife here. Down to verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Wow. And just note here how her children and her husband praise her. Let's be sure that we do that today, men, that we honor the wives and the women in our life today. Let's affirm them for who they are as daughters of the King, and let's also not miss out on how important our words of affirmation and praise can be. Yes, this woman is living a life, she's living from Christ and not just for Christ. She's living from Christ, she has this inner strength, and yet to recognize that is so powerful. To recognize that in them is so important, to let them know what we see in them. We live in a world that looks at motherhood as less than significant, right? It's almost like you lose your significance the more you pursue life as a mom and leave behind the outside workforce. That, of course, is not true. Let's believe in our wives and support them in the endeavor and be ever grateful for all they are becoming in Christ. We could summarize it this way. Any woman can be this excellent wife. You just need to help her find her inner beauty. Your words of affirmation, your words of praise can be a really powerful part of helping her find her inner beauty. You can be the one to drive her back here to Scripture and remind her over and over and over that she is a child of the King. I heard one more thing. I listened to somebody speak this week. Somebody was preaching on prayer. And he was doing kind of a asking people in the congregation to respond to some questions. And he asked them one question, like, why did you find it hard to pray? And there was one person, I think this was a woman, she had said, well, I had a tough time praying. That prayer was like formulaic, and I wasn't good at formulas. And like prayer was always about, you got to pray this formula to pray, and I was never good. And then prayer was also about like, she said it's kind of like when you go to church. She always heard that when you went to church, you had to dress up for church. I heard that a lot growing up, right? We heard that. And I always heard this argument. It's like, why should we dress up when we go to church? Well, you're going to meet the King. Like if you went to meet the president, you would dress up. If you're going to church, then if you're going to go meet the King, then you should dress up. And this woman said one day it dawned on her, yeah, that's true. Unless the King is your dad. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for words of the words of Scripture, just like this passage here, that just remind us what's really important, that remind us what it looks like when we live from you and not for you, that there's an inner strength that can help us navigate life. All the potential that's wrapped up in you, all that the freedom that you give us to do and become. Yet we need to live from you, and we need to trust you, and we need to walk with you. And Lord, I just pray today for everyone who heard this message, especially the moms, and for any pain they're dealing with, any tough words they heard in this message that were really hard, may they just not hear them in that sense. May they hear them from a loving Father that is just, you're just speaking into their life hope and reminding them that they are a daughter of the King, that they have royal bloodline, that they have value that can never be taken away because of whose they are. Just remind them of that. Remind us all of that as we go our separate ways today. And bless everyone's day and bless everyone's week. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. 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 Let's stand together and sing this song as we close. Great song to end with this morning.